In the book of Acts, Luke wrote, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles." Now, this is the verse directly after Pentecost. This is a summary by Luke of what characterized the church at that time: teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayer. Now, all three of those four are obvious, what he's talking about. What does he mean by the breaking of bread? Well, most of you know that Acts is kind of Luke 2. You know, Luke wrote Luke, and he wrote the Acts to the same person, to us, actually, the Holy Spirit did. Three times in the book of Acts, in the book of Luke, Jesus broke bread. And so it may be an indication that when they talk about breaking bread in the book of Acts, Luke wasn't talking about having dinner. He had something specific in mind. And without going into a whole long thing, because this could go long forever, the three times are, one, in Luke 9, when the disciples have returned from ministry and before he asks them who he is. So there's a critical time in the growth of the apostles going on there. They've returned from casting out demons and healing folks and things. They're on an emotional high, and he's going to ask them who he is. And in between time, they've attracted a crowd, and the crowd, Jesus, of course, turns readily to the crowd and teaches them, and it's getting late, and he says, "Give them something to eat." Did you plan? No, I didn't. Lord, it'd take a whole bunch of money to feed these folks. And he said, well, you know the story. So he gets the five loaves and the two fish. He looks up to heaven. He gave thanks. He broke them. And he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. The second telling is the Last Supper. Right after they've been arguing about who's greatest, going to be greatest in the kingdom, and Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body." The third time is after Jesus has been crucified, dead, resurrected. On that same day, two of them, obviously not two of the 12, because it names one of the guys named Cleopas, are walking west of from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And he meets them, and you know that story. And they sit down. They, you know, it's afternoon, so they're going to stop, and they invite him in, and even though he's the guest, he kind of takes charge. Can you imagine this? You've invited some stranger you're walking along the road with, and it's the host normally that blesses the meal and sets everything up and whatever. And Jesus says when he was at the table with him, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to him. And then, of course, they realize who he is. Okay, without going all into all that, Jesus is trying to tell us something. Three times he does something, and he does it the same way. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus was following a ritual, because that ritual didn't exist anywhere in that church. And, yeah, the bread and the wine are symbolic of this and that and the other, but that's something else. Each time, he follows the same pattern. He blesses it, he breaks it, and he gives it. Now, when you and I use the word blessed, we don't mean blessed the way Jesus blessed the bread. We mean, God gave me a Mercedes, or I got a big house, or I got new shoes, or see my do. No, that's not, you know, when we say blessed, we mean healthy, wealthy, and wise. Jesus meant consecrated. He had dedicated that bread. He had set it aside for a holy use. That's what Jesus means by blessed. Our identity and our calling, as Kristen was just describing, is as chosen, revealed, and restored. That's blessed. Chosen, revealed, restored. Who are we? We're the children of God. And nothing can separate us from God. That's how we are blessed. And we are blessed, hopefully, not to be broken as Jesus was broken, not to be broken in our bodies, but to have our souls broken so that we can be free for His Spirit to operate in us and we can serve, not Him, but the world, we being the church, because bread that is not broken can't be shared. And then finally, the bread is given. In each of those cases, it's given to the disciples. Even in the case of the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus didn't give it to the 5,000. He gave the bread to the disciples to give to the 5,000. He gave the bread to them, getting them and us to join Him in His work. And that's, I think, what that's all about. It's not a ritual. It's not something we do whenever we do it. Because He wants us to use us, He has given us for the sake of someone else. The purpose of Prevailing Word Ministries, and all churches, we hope, is not Prevailing Word Ministries. We aren't a self-licking ice cream cone. We're here for His purpose, for the sake of non-members, for the sake of the community, and for the sake of our city, our families even, that some of them knew. We are here to worship, to connect, and to serve. The church, that is us, is bread in the hands of Jesus. But when He blesses us, breaks us, and gives us, we become more than bread. We become carriers of grace. The breaking of the bread is a picture of Jesus' body, broken for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. So communion is not a ritual. It's a reminder of who we are. A reminder of whose we are. And we remember Christ's sacrifice then. We celebrate Christ's presence among us now. And we anticipate the coming feast, the wedding feast of the Lamb, in glory. By this, we declare ourselves to be blessed, broken, and given by Christ.
Praise God. It's so much that happened this morning. I'm really overwhelmed. I really want to just lay down right now. You know, we really got to sense and know the presence of God in this house, and the transition of what He's doing inside of our spirit, man. You know, just to think about what Kristen Davis was saying earlier about the unity. You know, it's so good. And even with the baptism, I mean, the washing of the feet, I wasn't even here Wednesday, but I still could feel the presence of God of what took place in this house. because of Pastor always say stay close. You can still feel the presence of God, the residue. Even in today's message, you know, I wasn't here, but she tied into some of the things that she was saying because we got the same Father. And because we're so connected to the heart of God, that's the thing that's always going to come out of his people, his heart. Even though you might be distant, because she, whatever you do, you still have to be connected to the true vine. There's no disconnection from the true vine. So when we have to stay close, you stand close not only to the servant that God placed in his house, but he's saying stay close to him. So when you stay close to the true vine, you also stay close to the man that, or the woman that God had placed before you, and you're still going to eat of the same bread. That's what you call unity. Mm-hmm. That type of unity cannot be broken. Mm-hmm. Yes, the fear is there. Because you still have to think, you think you have to live in a natural sense, but you don't. But when you raise yourself up and allow the Spirit to raise you up above the circumstance of where you are, then you understand the purpose of why you walk in unity and why you have to struggle to get there. That's why when she said that she was afraid to even get married. Why? Because you understand it's something totally different outside of your norm. It's a commitment beyond your own imagination that you can't even be excited about. And then some people say, well, I'm excited because this is my day. This is my wedding day. But even in that, you still don't know what's behind the scene. At that very moment, you are excited because you're selfish. Yeah, but think about it. Because you're going in because you want something for somebody else.
Come on now.
You go into the unity commitment because you want something. I want that relationship. I want that protection. And I want that love from you. Hey, you don't start that. Let me come on this side. That's just what you're looking for. See that, and that's the title. Wait, and that's the whole deal. Even when Rocky said that, see, mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it just comes so real to me when she said that. See, my spirit automatically connects because I'm like, okay, she had to get that from heaven. Quickly. I mean, I'm playing. I'm laughing right now. But when she said that, immediately it went back up this way. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I look for every opportunity to know what my Father is saying. You can't miss that moment when he's saying something to us in our spirit. So then we turn around, and you got to see this. See, this is what I'm seeing. I'm sitting here playing the drums. I'm listening, and I'm watching, and I'm seeing when they talk about unity. Then turn around. Couple of weeks ago, the man of God was talking about we're having a unity lunch. And that's what we're calling this?
Unity fellowship.
Mm-hmm. Was that connected with what Kristen was saying today? That's why she called her up here to connect that with the unity. No. See, don't miss this stuff. Why did he connect that? Because he's pouring out and out of his heart. He said, I want unity for my children. Why did Ron come and talk about the breaking of the bread? Why is it always talking about dying to self and to be resurrected with something totally different outside of the norm? Why did he have to break it and bless it and gave it to the disciples? Why did he took the two fish and told them to go and give it to the multitude? Unity. The 12 represents the unity from heaven. That's not even what I'm supposed to be talking about this morning.
He'll do you like that.
Yeah, I love it though. But understand something. Understand that the fact that when we get into a situation that we normally don't understand because we're so caught up and consumed with the cares of life that we miss the opportunity what God is saying. And then we come and we do pray. We do pray in this house. I'm glad let me see here, do research. Okay, everybody's here from the house. So it's amazing how we pray in this house and we pray for the things that God has already granted us. In the unity, he already know our need. He just want to have that fellowship and that time with us to the point where we can be released from the curse of death in this earthly realm. But there's a process. And the process that we have to go through is called wait. There's all different types of times that you have to wait. I was thinking about this thing and I was like, man, you know, people don't like to wait at the red light. Right? When that light turns yellow, that's caution. That light means caution. That means you either slow down, and if you're almost in between, you speed up. But we never take the latter. We always speed up. Why? Because I don't want to wait at this light. We get to the place where we go and we go to a restaurant, and when we're hungry and want some ribs, I already know what I want. I don't need a menu. Where's the waiter? I don't want to wait for him to come around. So I have to sit there and I have to wait. And then he asks all the questions. What would you like to drink? Let's go to what I want to eat. Give me the ribs. Give me a Coke and we're good to go. Because I know it's going to take you a minute to go back there and cook it. So I don't want to go through the process of waiting to go through the procedures of my order. We don't like to wait. There's times when we go to the store and we're in line and it's a long line before you get your stuff to checked out in the store, and all of a sudden when you get close to you're not waiting for 10 minutes and you're number three in line, they close the register. Now you're upset because now I done waited all this time. And you look around and you see all them other long lines, you got to wait some more. We don't like to wait. See? You ever been through a drive-thru when you want to get something to eat? And you want to go through a drive-thru and all of a sudden you're late. I mean, you're doing your lunchtime, so you drive in there real quick. So I just want a burger. And the car's line is all the way around the whole window. And you're like, oh, I just got to go. I'm going to go inside. And as you're driving, you peep in the window as you're driving, because now you understand something, that the line is long inside as well as outside. So now you're mad because now you really, really don't want to wait. Most of the time, we just pull off and go somewhere else. Because waiting, for most parts for us, is not an option. The world system, even in the natural, it can end up being a blessing. See, when you stop at that light, it might give you be a blessing to you, because, see, that can prevent you from getting a ticket or an accident. But there's a level of time to wait. You know, just like when you go into a waiting room. You're at the hospital. We have to wait for the doctor or somebody that God had to create, right? We are sitting there and we are waiting until they come and give us a report. If the report is good or bad, but we're in there waiting, not that we want to, because we have to. God said, I'm trying to slow you down because I want you to understand something when you have to wait. When you in there waiting, then your mind start playing tricks on you, because then you start staying in the natural. Then you start thinking, well, is it going to be a good report or is it a bad report? If somebody's in the hospital, what report are they going to come back and give me? On the other side of that, we should be in there rejoicing because who we are, who our daddy is. Waiting should be a pleasure. And this is the thing for the word for this house at PWM. Wait. In this time of season right now, I believe God is telling us to wait. We'll get deeper into this thing. There was a time about three weeks ago, I came up to Pastor and I said, Pastor, I'm not getting anything. I don't know what's going on. I can't get a word from, I couldn't get nothing. I couldn't read. When I read the word, I couldn't get anything. When I listened to some music, I couldn't get anything. Whatever I did, I could not get nothing. It was just dry. Pastor said, oh, yeah, you're getting something. I was like, oh, no, I'm not getting anything. I ain't never been here. I'm not getting nothing. And then I started getting a little nervous. I'm like, well, maybe I'm not even saved right now. Maybe I need to go back and check myself because I'm not getting a nugget, nothing. During this journey of me waiting, I had to go to Tennessee to take my daughter to college. And I had to drive 9.5 hours. And on this journey, I had it all mapped out. I had my music. I know I was going to listen to Andrew Murray. I was ready to go. On this journey, I couldn't do either. I'm driving 9 hours at night with nothing.
Come on now.
Worked all day. Drove all night. I think I got tired once. But the point is, I still couldn't understand. I was driving. I was still trying to understand why I'm not getting anything. What's the problem? Why am I not hearing anything? So now I'm still trying to force myself into a situation. Just like when you're in a waiting room, you're trying to force yourself. So you start reaching out to people and say, oh, pray for me. I need more prayer. I need you to babysit me. I need you to do this for me. Why? Because now I'm pulling for straws. Instead of me waiting and said, oh, I'm going to trust the creator more than I'm going to wait on the creation.
Woo, Jesus. Come on now.
The creator had already determined what the outcome going to be. But he wants you to learn a lesson today about waiting. So I'm all confused. I'm saying, okay, God, so I still don't understand why the substance is not coming out of me like it ought to. So then Pastor told me, he said, I want you to speak. And I'm like, I ain't got nothing. Now, here's the thing. I'm saying I don't have anything. I'm always saying that. Because I'm always trying to learn how to wait on God to give me something. From heaven versus what I already got written down in my book from 1994 and all that. I got a lot of titles and scriptures written down that I could preach from at any given moment, but it's just no substance in it at all. So by me waiting for God, I'm going to have to discipline. And only way I can be disciplined is I have to let the Holy Spirit discipline me. So I said, I don't have anything. I don't have anything. And the Spirit just moved. And what next thing you know, I didn't have to speak that day. Waiting, see? You don't panic. You just wait.
Come on now. Come on now.
You just wait. You just wait. You just stand still and say, okay, I just don't know what to do. So I'm standing there, and I said, okay, God, so, you know, my mom passed away on July 5th, and then I had to go through the circumstances of the funeral and the repast, and I'm like, okay, I want to say something to the family, my family, but I couldn't. During the whole process, I was watching. I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm going to tell you. And I'm not saying it because I'm close to Pastor. Me and fellowship, though. But listen, I'm being totally honest. I watch them like a hawk. All right? Not because we're close and friends. I watch their life. I watch every substance about what they do. In a crucial situation, I want to see how they react is going to be. Yeah. Why? Because, see, I want to see the substance that's what's really inside of you. Is it really from heaven or is it just you? Because we know how to entertain and perform. See, we get that down packed. So when we want our food, we already know what we do. Waiter, I want my food. And then we get mad when it don't come the way we want it. So I want to see if that will be the type of reaction we do when we get in a crucial situation. So I'm thinking about my family during the funeral. All my siblings, we around. And they said, okay, what we going to do? We're going to go to my house at the end, and we're going to just be the family. We're just going to hang out. I'm not getting anything. I'm just cold. My daughter's here. I'm just cold. And I'm watching them. I'm watching people. And prior to my mom passing, I understood something. I understood the fact that that didn't have to be. Just as clear as day, I knew that she shouldn't have died. I could say that. But I looked at my siblings and I looked at everybody. When we got to the house, I looked at everybody and everybody did a totally opposite of what was supposed to take place. What I mean? In other words, because we don't want to wait for God and we want to really do what we want to do, we really want to do what we want to do, and we really want to find a reason to blame and say some excuses, and we really want to play games. Right? We really want to do that, right? We just start meddling and stuff, and then when things blow up, see, people start doing, well, you know, God and God is good and all of this stuff. But soon as we go to the house, there's no God. There's no prayer. There's no cards. There's no glorifying God for the life that was here. It's none of that. Because we're selfish and we want what we want. So therefore, we throw our own party. Ooh. In the name of Jesus. And I'm standing there like, why am I seeing this? Even my daughter, I'm like, wait a minute, this is crazy. God said, no, go for a walk. I had to leave the house. But I still wasn't getting anything. The only thing I got was to go for the walk. So you know I was going to the store to get me a Coke. I didn't want anything from the store, so I'm trying to figure this thing out. And I'm telling y'all this story because I wanted it to be real. But I want you to relate to it from the natural sense, but you better understand it from the spiritual. The waiting process is so crucial for our life. So as I went to the store, my daughter came down the street with me, and she started talking and opened up her heart. And she started sharing some deep secrets about her, what she'd been going through. And I'm like, man, this is good. This is good. But in my spirit, I was troubled because my siblings were so far from God. So I said, God, why am I seeing this? He said, I need you to see this for a purpose. That's it. See it for a purpose. I ain't hear nothing else from God. I get to the point. I understood something in the last 3 days. About 2 weeks ago, I learned something from what Pastor Gary had said. When he was talking one time, he was preaching, and he was talking about him being at Lowe's. And he was about to purchase this grill, and I think he was sitting there waiting for a long time. But you was good. You was waiting. He was waiting, and, you know, everything was good until he realized that he was there waiting for too long to get something that was simple. Yeah, when somebody says something to him to remind him in the natural that you've been standing here for no reason. You've been waiting for no reason. But before he was waiting, from what I remember you saying, is you was good because you was in heaven. But he left heaven and became a bird. I'm going to explain that to you. He left heaven to become a bird. Right? Because now he understands that he feel like he wasting time. So now he want to redeem what was wrongly done to him by making him wait. God come to my rescue because I shouldn't have to wait. So at the same time, you think about it, there was a time before this, I believe Pastor went and got some food, and he was waiting for them to give him his order, and they took too long to give you your order. Was that you? Did you get some chicken or something? A burger. But I remember you saying that you was waiting, and you were seeing the people, you know, getting their orders way before you, and you was waiting, but you like, you just stayed in heaven. Popeyes was chicken. I know it's chicken. I'm going to leave that one alone. But my point is, there's a significant thing about waiting on God. In this house, your circumstances are not real. Sometimes you might feel like you had to throw in the towel because, you know, you're back against the wall. You don't understand the circumstances. It seems like the pressure of life is just squeezing you. This is the best time for you to wait. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to send you a comforter, and they're going to lead you and teach you all truth. Let the comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, lead you beyond the walls of your trouble. But you got to wait. Just like Krista said, I'm always got something I can figure out what to do. I got to figure out what to do. I'm going to listen to some music. I'm going to read the scripture. I'm going to listen to Andrew Murray. No, wait. He was trying to get my attention on something else. But I wanted to stay on this level and the second floor. And I didn't want to go nowhere because I'm familiar with the second floor. I understood that there was something else, even in my life. I'm like, God, did I mess up? I even thought about the goodness that I have already done. God, I already laid on the floor and died 19,000, 20,000 times in the church. I done gave up my life. You know, I done gave up everything. I counted everything a loss. I said, only thing I want is you. Well, I'm not getting anything. I want what I want. I want what I want. But then I recognized something. On my way back from Tennessee, I understood that God was moving me to another arena. Right? There was another breaking. There was another breaking. It was another breaking going on the inside. And he said, I want you to see. And I came here, and then I saw him. I want you to see. I want you to see something. And I didn't really want to see anything because right now I need you to meet some needs. And then, let me back up a little bit. Before I got back, a person that told me I needed something to happen. And they were like, well, you know, I'm going to let you pray to your God and see what your God going to do in this situation. And I said to myself, yeah, I'm going to pray. Who is that? Isaiah, when he built the altar, said, you pray to your God, I pray to my. That's the first thing that came to my head. But what came in my spirit was, don't you dare. Don't you dare. Because God is bigger than you. I have to defend him and prove myself or prove him to you because you want something in the earth. Because you want what you want, it's more to move God. Doesn't work that way. So then I recognized, I said, there's something else to this waiting thing. There's something else to this waiting. And then all of a sudden, I got this scripture. Could you give me the scripture? I got a scripture. Well, but then I started thinking, Isaiah 40. This scripture came to me, and I began to understand. I said, okay, so there's something about this waiting. And then God said, okay, I want you to see some things. And then all week, this week, God just kept dropping nuggets inside of me. It was just all these nuggets. And I began to see and understand some things. And what he showed me was, in this scripture, it says, but they. And I said, God, when can I become a they? Listen. Forget about the but, because that's up there. Let's deal with they. See, they did something. They had some substance that was beyond their everyday need. And then he started showing me some things. All of a sudden, I started thinking about Pastor Gary again. He was saying that God wants to elevate us beyond our circumstances and not leave us inside of it. You might not get healed and delivered and everything worked out, but he can raise you up beyond your circumstances if you wait. See, they did something. When can I become they? Because right now, I'm all screwed up because I want to be me. God, you gotta work some things out of my favor because I'm serving you and there's some things that have been wrong to me and I think you need to come and justify what was wrong. But I ain't no they. So then he began to show me some witnesses about they. They, I look at Andrew Murray. We've read some of his things and we don't heard a lot about him. And one of the things about him, he had to wait. He lost his voice and he couldn't say anything for 2 years. The man had to wait, even though he had gifts and he had the gifts to do miracles and all of this stuff. No. He still had to wait because his gift was not more than him waiting on God. It was the wait. It was the wait. God said, I'm not impressed with what you're doing here. And you using the Holy Spirit to bring up and raise up people and all of this stuff. And you preaching and all that. I'm not impressed with that. But can you wait? Because I want you to become a they. I need you to be a they. Because in 2015 and 2017 and 2018, there's a young man named Michael Ruffin. He needs to understand who they are. He didn't get moved because he couldn't speak anymore. He didn't get bothered because he didn't have his way. He still served God. He still loved up on him. He didn't blame God because he couldn't speak anymore. What he did is he waited. I got another witness, a guy named John G. Lake. He also turned around and he did all these great exploits. He sold his business. He had a big booming business, making a lot of money. He gave it all away to go to South Africa. during the time that he was went, he was in line waiting to get to import into South Africa. In the line, he had no money on the ship. He had to wait on God to provide the unseen and the unknown. With his wife, where he could be embarrassed when they deported him because they said that there's no limit that you gotta pay, and that's it. He knew that he didn't have anything, but he still waited in line. Because his love for God was so pure that he said, I can wait. And then he became one of them theys. Somebody came and walked up to him and tapped him on the shoulder and said, excuse me, sir. Excuse me. God wants me to give you some money. Because he still waited, even to the last minute, he still waited. And because of that, when he got over into Africa, then somebody else came and said, excuse me. How many people you got with you? He couldn't answer that because the person was asking the wrong person. And the guy said, well, I think it's like three of us. He said, no. She said, no, you're the wrong one. It was a lady. She said, you know, you're the wrong one. She went up to John G. Legg and said, how many you got? He said, nine. She said, you're the one. You're the one. You're the one. You're the one because God told me last night to give you my house. If you wait, see, he became one of those days. Jesus was a they. When Lazarus died, he waited 2 days before he even went over there.
Come on now.
Why? Because he understood the principles of God. He understood the principles of his father. He said, I know. I'm going to wait until my father descends me to the place where I can deal with my friend. No, we're close. I'm close to his sisters. We buds. But you know what? As Christian said... Then we get an attitude when our families and stuff don't agree with you in the spiritual realm. Then everybody want to get an attitude. But no, you still have to wait. So Jesus went. And then after the fact, it was for the glory of God. It wasn't for the glory of Jesus' satisfaction because he's going to raise his friend. Oh, that's my friend. Let me go get my boy. No. He said, no, I'm about my father's business. Y'all need to learn a greater lesson in this thing because I want you to understand that you got to have the faith and believe because you break my heart when he shed the tear because of the unbelief of the people that he done been around and he done did all these great exploits and all these miracles. He's still waiting for people to believe something that they already done seen. But he's about his father's business. So even though he said, I'm going to let you see my tear, but I'm not going to stop my destiny for my father. Mm-hmm. Saul on the road of Damascus. Saul had to wait. Even though he heard the voice of God, even though Jesus questioned him and all of this, he said when he got blind, he had to go wait in Damascus for 2 days. There's power in waiting. Here we go. It's deeper. Because we settle for power. Let me finish this up. This is good. I think about Amanda. I thought I was going to use her today. I think about Amanda. Amanda, how many months are you now pregnant? How? 4 months. Now, I want y'all to understand something. I'm just giving you what he gave me, okay? In PWM, in this house, These chairs should be tore up. We've been sitting here waiting for the Spirit of God, waiting for the miracles to make happen, take place. We're looking for these great exploits like John G. Lake and Andrew Murray. See, I wasn't here when they made the announcement about the pregnancy, see. But I can only imagine the excitement. But did we really remember the waiting? Do we remember the waiting? There's another person in here, is a they. I'm going to get you later, Pastor Jerry. You know what I'm gonna... There's another person in here that God showed me about a they. And it was interesting because he said Rocky is a they. See, James is the miracle, but Rocky is a they. He said, you got to see this, man. You got to see. I can't see this stuff. I couldn't see this in my own. I'm not thinking this stuff. I don't think this stuff. I'm not thinking like this. He showed me. He said, no, she waited. She waited on the Holy Spirit. Even if she worried, even if she messed up, she still waited on God. She still held on to something that God has given her. When she was standing here every Wednesday for months and months and going to the Spirit of Life, teaching that lesson, reading it over and over and over, what it's doing is elevating her not to be a bird. We're excited about the miracle. We're excited about the miracle. But what about her waiting? It was in the wait that the miracle came forth. It was in the wait that the baby is there. It's the wait. It's the wait. We get so selfish and self-centered that we just push God to the side and say, I'm big boy now and I do what I want to do. And you better come and bless everything that I have. Because it's due me, because I come to church every Sunday. I pay my tithes. I sing songs of praise. I do everything according to what I'm supposed to do in the natural sense. But I'm not surrendering. I'm not going to wait on God. I'm going to do what I want to do. They that wait. Upon the Lord. See, it's not about what your circumstances are. It's not about what you like. It's not about that picture. It's about, Lord, what is your desires from heaven to come down on earth? How does it look on your projection in heaven that it needs to be manifest and shown on the screen of earth that man can see and read my life, because it's no longer I that live, it's the Christ that live in me. I want to wait upon the Lord, see? I gotta wait. He ain't finished. He said, wait upon the Lord, shall be new. See, new beginnings. Start over. I'm going to pick it back up. He said, when you do this, I'm going to do something different. I'm still going to pick you up and do it again. See, it's going to be renewal. See, he's not going to dismiss you because you are messed up, or he take you to one level. When I was on the second level, I'm like, okay, so I'm good. He said, no, I got to renew you, son. You have to go up. Listen, we talked about their strength. They and their strength. See, you're going to get some strength. See, we can't worry about strength because we think about power when we think about strength. Mm-hmm. See, that's how quickly we become a bird. I'm going to get to the bird again. I ain't forget. Our strength is based upon what people can see. Now, if I take my shirt off and I flex, man, y'all going to be like, y'all going to be amazed because of the BJ, you ain't got nothing on me, bro. I could do 1.5 push-up right now. that is in the strength that most of us hunger after while we're in the waiting room in the natural sense. We look at this scripture because we always want to be strengthened. We want to be strengthened based upon our own flesh and desires. Now, here you go. That's where you come in at, Pastor Jeff. Strength from the heaven is authority. I recall Amanda going back there for prayer, and I'm standing behind Pastor Jerry, and I'm watching her. And she's troubled. She's, to me, she seemed like she was troubled, and she said, "I'm gonna go ahead and say it. You could be pregnant this year with a baby." I said, "Oh God." No. I said, "Oh God," because I was in agreement, because I was sensing the same thing. But the Spirit reminded me when I was reading this, when he was breaking all this down to me, he said, "See, son, I want to give you authority, not strength. I gave you authority to lay hands and to call those things be not as though they were." See, you got to speak it out of your mouth because, see, the power and the authority is already in you. So it manifests that when you spoke life to that stomach, the baby was already conceived from heaven. Because, see, now, Amanda, here's the deal. The baby situation, it had to wait because God had a purpose and a destiny for such time as now versus back then. See, the baby couldn't do the great exploit that it's going to do. It couldn't do the great exploit. So you had to go through some stuff, and your back had to be against the wall, and you and Tony had to hold hands. But you had to wait for a certain reason, for a certain season. So God said, "I got to get something done in the earth like I had to do my son." See, it's not about you. It's not about Tony. But it's about what Kristen Davis said before, that I got to continue to pray for my blessing. The baby's the blessing. What you guys do from here on out is going to be crucial of the destiny for this world, not for your generation. That authority. Here we go. This is the difference between the bird. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. Whenever we come down, see, a bird has to do a lot of flapping. Got to do all this work, man. You just, all this work. That's all we used to doing. Pastor get on me all the time. I work all the time. That's all I do, flap. But when you be a bird, you can't soar. See, birds have to work. Eagle, one flap, and it's gone. Can't they? That's why he said, "Mount up. Come on up here with the eagle." See, the eagle wings are beautiful and they're strong. See, that's where the strength come in at. And they're so parallel that they're straight. And they just like one time, whoo, and it just go back in order. And then you just flow, you just glide just like this. It's no effort. You can just glide and just slide, turn around anytime you want to, because that's the job of an eagle. And God said, "No, I don't want y'all to be no birds and no robins and no blue jays and no woodpecker. I want you to be an eagle. Come up here so you can glide." See, the eagle has some things. This is what he's showing me. He said, "That devil turn around. That's why I had you to wait, because I want you to see from the eyes of an eagle." See, the eagle can see so high up. He can see something way down there as a dot, and he can sense it and know exactly where it is. So when God was showing me my family, he said, "I want you to see something. See beyond what you wouldn't have saw if you were not waiting." When you stay up there like an eagle, and you know that the eagle said, "No, I'm going to save my strength when I have to go to war." We want to use our strength to show people how flexible and how good we are. No, it's about the kingdom. So I got to set myself and get me understand that if I mount myself up, if I ascend, Isn't that what God used the man of God to say to us? That you, he'll raise you up above your circumstances. God spoke it. We got to catch it. That does not necessarily mean because you said, oh, okay, I'm going to be an eagle. And no, 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 no. It ain't to mean that everything is going to disappear. When you leave out of here, it doesn't mean that everything is going to go well for you. No, because see, you in our hearts, we're still being selfish. No, the wings and the eagle is just a representation that God said, I can lift you up out of any circumstances at any time. Just trust me. So I said, God, I can't trust you that way. I'm afraid to trust you that way because it's just too many things right before me. He said, only thing I want you to do is admit that you can't be trusted. That you can't trust me. I'm learning now that they say, God, I just don't know. I just don't understand. I don't know how that's going to work out. During that time, see, in the spiritual, see, in the natural, it seemed like that's weak. But in the spiritual, you're mounting up on wings as an eagle. He said, I got him in a vulnerable place. I could show my great exploits in his life now because now he's weak and vulnerable. They shall run and not get weary. See, you see how much meat inside of this word? Shall not. Be weary, and they that walk and not faint. Listen, don't throw in the towel. In the waiting on God, what he's saying is, I want to take you and lead you still to that still, quiet place. That confidence inside of him. Even in praying for somebody, even in praying, he was showing me to pray for somebody. It should be the opposite way. When people come up for prayer, that person doesn't need to pray. I need to be praying for somebody else. Why? So if something has to be stirred up inside of you in this house. It's already. That's why the portal of heaven had to be enlarged. Because now we're eagles and we're no longer birds. The oil from the roof is falling down, still dripping in this house. It's nothing changed. When she was washing feet, when Mother Joseph was washing feet, what was that representation was that God is still saying, oh, I love you guys so much. But can you trust me enough that you will give up everything and say, God, I'd rather be a servant in your house. It's just like most preachers. We don't never like the word wait. Ordain me now. License me now. Because I have the calling and I have the gift. But they that wait upon the Lord you know, one thing I love I'm gonna need that now. That's another message. Hey. I want to know why we're in a season of waiting for God. This is very important. The manifestation of God's glory is so rich in this house. It's crazy. When I was saying about breaking up the chairs, We got to grab hold to what God really wants to do. So our lifestyle should be this every day. Right? And again, guys, it's not about our gifts. It's not. It's not about the gifts. It's not about our talents. Moses had to wait 80 years. He had to wait 80 years in order for him to get in a position that God can really use him. The world tell us to do everything when we're young. God said, no, bring me when you're old. Because that way, and he wanted us when we were young. He wanted us when we were young. But see, we're so pig-headed that we won't submit ourselves because we think we know too much. But then, but he had to get to a place where he was broken, that he was old, that his own wisdom could not manifest in the natural anymore. So he had to wait to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. I want to know, do anybody want prayer for healing tonight, today? Anybody want prayer for healing? Just come. Just come in the middle. And as people come, during the waiting period, and I left this part out, you know, Pastor Glow blessed me, Pastor Voss blessed me, because Friday, I came from work. I was so tired. And when I came through the door, Pastor Ross was playing a song about waiting. And then after she left, a couple of hours later, Pastor Glow was playing a song about Isaiah 40:31. And what why I'm saying, because I can't forget those things. That's valuable to me. That's so valuable to me. Because he loved me that much that he said, "Look, son, I'm going to let you know that this is from heaven because I want you to hear this again because you still got to wait."
Boy, let me pray. Tony?
I don't have much to say, but like he said with the waiting, when he said wait, all I heard was God say that is the time where you should observe the most. And it just kind of made me think about Lamentations 25, starting there. It says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." So when I just was thinking about that, and the Lord told me that this is the time you should observe. So just keep waiting. You know, God's going to do some things. All right. Close out in prayer. Okay, Jamis, you got to say.
Okay, so in the original people of the land, the Native Americans, they got some of it wrong. But what I saw when he went to go fly and glide, one of their totems is the eagle. And at their powwows, they dress up and see who could dance the best. And in their dance, they do their costumes and typical movements, they glide. And then when they flap up their wings, it's beautiful and colorful. That's part of the eagle, too. Even though the natural eagle is earthly toned, but when you get, like I saw Pastor Mike in the costume, like the colors, each tribe may do it a different representation, but when you glide and when you dance, there's colors.
Amen, amen, amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the supernatural, Lord God. We thank you for the spiritual realm, We thank you for access, Lord God. We thank you that the door is open to us, oh Lord God. The portal is open. Oil is flowing from the throne room, Lord God. Heavenly oil, Lord God. Heavenly Father, continue to anoint us, oh Lord. Anoint our hearts and anoint our minds. But, oh Lord God, as you're anointing, oh Lord God, allow us patience, Lord God. Allow us to wait, Lord God. For we don't want to move without you, Lord God. So whatever you deem is necessary, give us the patience for, Heavenly Father. So do your will in this earth. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the words that were spoken today. We thank you for the speaker. We thank you for the worship. Heavenly Father, may it continue to bless your ears, O Lord God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, O Lord God, for the words that came from Pastor Jerry's mouth, O Lord God. Seal them in heaven, O Lord God, and let it manifest completely on earth. But until then, Lord God, may we wait. But as Lord God, we just thank you for all you've done. Bless us as we leave here today. Keep us for our unity fellowship. And let us enjoy ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.